So we will commence our morning chanting. Okay? This is to develop the faith, the sadhā, the virya, and spiritual faculty to lead to the ability to develop all the spiritual faculty, to develop the meditative mind, so that you can understand spiritual teachings. Okay. We will chant the English version, page 5 of the retreat chanting book. To the Blessed One, the Lord, who fully attained perfect enlightenment, to the teaching which he expounded so well, and to the Blessed One's disciples who have practiced well, to this, the Buddha, the Dhamma, and the Sangha, we render our offerings, our rightful homage. It is well for us that the Blessed One, having attained liberation, still had compassion for later generations. May these simple offerings be accepted for our long-lasting benefits and for the happiness it gives us. The Lord, the perfectly enlightened and blessed one, I render homage to the Buddha, the blessed one. Wow. The teaching so completely explained by him, I bow to the Dhamma, the blessed one's disciple who have practiced well, I bow to the Sangha. Now let us pay preliminary homage to the Buddha, homage to him, the blessed one, the worthy one, the fully enlightened one. Homage to him, the blessed one, the worthy one, and the fully enlightened one. Homage to him, the blessed one, the worthy one, and the fully enlightened one. Now let us chant in praise of the Buddha. The Tathagata is the pure one, the perfectly enlightened one. He is impeccable in conduct and understanding, the accomplished one, the knower of the world. He trains perfectly those who wish to be trained. He is the teacher of man and God. He is awakened and holy. In this world, with his gods, demons, and kind spirits, his seekers and sages, celestial and human beings, he has by deep insight revealed the truth. He has pointed out the Dhamma, beautiful in the beginning, beautiful in the middle, beautiful in the end. He has explained the spiritual life of complete purity in its essence and conventions. I chant my praise to the Blessed One. I bow my head to the Blessed One. Now let us chant in praise of the Dhamma. Well expounded is the Dhamma of the Blessed One, can be realized in the here and the now, beyond time, beyond thought, inviting investigation, leading inwards to the heart, Nibbana, can be understood by the wise, each for themselves. I chant my praise to this teaching. I bow my head to this truth. Now let us chant in praise of the Sangha. They are the blessed one's disciple who have good conduct, who have upright conduct, who have wise conduct, who have dutiful conduct. That is the four paths, the eight kinds of noble beings. These are the blessed ones, disciple. Such ones are worthy of gift, worthy of hospitality, worthy of offering, worthy of respect. They give occasion for incomparable goodness to arise in the world. I chant my praise to this Sangha. I bow my head to this Sangha. Then now we are at this night, we will chant the salutation to the Triple Gem. Now let us chant our salutation to the Triple Gem and a passage of encouragement. The Buddha, absolutely pure with ocean-like compassion, possessing the clear insight of wisdom, destroyer of worldly self-corruption, devotedly indeed the Buddha I revel, the teaching of the Lord like a lamp, illuminating the path and its fruit, the deathless, that which is beyond the conditioned world, devotedly indeed that Dhamma I revert, the Sangha, the most fertile ground for cultivation, those who have realized peace, awakened after the accomplished one, noble and wise, all longing abundant, devotedly indeed, that Sangha I revel. This salutation should be made to that which is worthy. Through the power of such good action, may all obstacles disappear. One who knows things as they are has come into this world, and he is an Arahant, a perfectly awakened being, purifying the way leading out of delusion, coming and directing to perfect peace, and leading to enlightenment. This way he has made known, having heard the teaching, we know birth is suffering, aging is suffering, sickness, disease is suffering, and death is suffering, sorrow, lamentation, pain, grief, and despair are suffering, association with the dislike is suffering, separation from one's first and our prized possession is suffering, not attaining one's wish is suffering. In brief, the five aggregates of grasping are suffering. These are as follows: identification with the body, identification with the feeling, identification with the perception, identification with mental formation, identification with consciousness. For the complete understanding of this, the Blessed One in his lifetime frequently instructs his disciple in just this way. In addition, he further instructs, the body is impermanent, feeling is impermanent, perception is impermanent, mental formations are impermanent, consciousness are impermanent, the body is non-self, feeling is non-self, perception is non-self, mental formations are non-self, consciousness is non-self, all conditioned phenomena are impermanent. There is no self in the condition and in the unconditioned. All of us are bound by birth, in sickness and death, by sorrow, lamentation, pain, grief, and despair, bounded by suffering and obstruction by suffering. Let us all aspire to complete freedom from suffering. The Blessed One, who long attained Parinibbana, is our refuge. So to the Dhamma, the Sangha, attentively we follow the pathway of that Blessed One with all of our mindfulness and strength. Then the cultivation of this practice leads us to the end of every kind of suffering. Okay, the closing homage, yeah? We will chant the Pali. Arahaṁ sammāsaṁ buddho bhagavā buddhaṁ bhagavataṁ abhivādhe suvākāto bhagavata dhammo dhamma dhammasāmi suppatipanno bhagavato sāmbhe sāmbho Santan Dhammani. Okay, you all can listen to that. What we will do is, this morning we already have the meditation. Yeah? So now we will skip the meditation. We will go to the sharing of the essential Dhamma. And I will officially start the sharing of the Heart Sutta. Turn to the Heart Sutta. You have the second edition, it's the best, eh? The orange book. Yeah. So this Heart Sutta is a very unique book. Eh? These are compiled from the weekly Sunday Heart Sutta Kam meditation classes conducted by me, the Teo, at Wu Ping Ching Se, Mahayana Vihara. Yeah? This one is over a period of about 15 months, I remember. Okay, we will skip the appendix. No, not appendix, the content. The content, you just skip and turn to page 1. Introduction. The first edition was dated February 2012. It's already 10 years ago. Sister Lee, Sylvie, had in the year 2012 invited Brad Teo to visit Wu Ping Ching Se Vihara. And it was during this visit that Sister Lee had requested Brad Teo to conduct his weekly Heart Sutta Kam meditation class at Wu Ping Ching Se Vihara. The first Heart Sutta Kam meditation class commenced on the 12th of February. 2012. So that is a very auspicious date, and it continued till the 19th of May, 2013. So it's almost 13 over months. Oh, sorry, 15 months, for a period of 15 months. Yeah, because 1 year is 12 months. 12 plus 3 is 15. This was then followed by the weekly Satipatthana Sutta meditation class. Initially, short notes were taken by Sister Lee and forwarded to Brother Teo, which is me, for editing, before using it for sharing at the next Heart Sutta Kam meditation class. And this was how the Heart Sutta Kam meditation class a short note comes about. Many Kayamitas who had attended the classes had found the short note very useful, very beneficial. Hence the reason why they had suggested that it be compiled into a book so that it can also benefit others who have affinity to receive it later. These short notes can also help those of the Theravada tradition to have a better understanding of the Heart Sutta teachings of the Mahayana tradition. Because Brad Teo had managed to link Heart Sutta teaching To all the various essential Dhamma of the Buddha as recorded in the Theravada tradition, so that the Dhamma practitioner and cultivator can have a much better understanding of both traditions' teaching and see clearly how they are related to each other. Vettio has also managed to link and explain clearly how all the essential Dhamma of the Buddha as recorded in the Theravada tradition comes about, and how they are connected to each other, thereby making it much easier to understand. In fact, the essence of the Buddha's teaching is just the Four Noble Truths, and all of the other teachings, the essential Dhamma, they spin off from it. So this one we have gone through, huh? Yesterday also we have gone through. But yesterday, for those who came late, you better listen to it. Yes, I explained the Four Noble Truths and its treatment in a totally different perspective. Yes, now people can understand. So the real Four Noble Truths is related to life, the reality of existence, reality of life and existence within the conditioned world. That's the reason why when you understand the Four Noble Truths, you become noble ones. It's like you understand the secret of life. And when you understand the secret of life, you know how to live life. And that is basically how powerful the teaching is. And how to transcend life. How to realize the awakening, the enlightenment. And how to go beyond the usual form of mind, the deluded form of mind, to realize the true nature within our pure nature. That awareness nature, which is connected to the oneness nature, is our true nature, our original nature. That's why in my analogy, they have a few terms to describe it. They call it the original nature, Bản lai the mien mu. They also call it the true nature, Zi xin. Then the oneness nature. The oneness nature is the most beautiful. And how from there it all things arise. That's why some call it the source of all things. The scientists call it the singularity. From there, the Big Bang, everything starts from the singularity. So these are the, what they call, documented teachings. When you understand, it becomes very beautiful. When you don't understand, it appears like a lot of different, contradictory, you know, things. Initially, a lot of Theravada tradition student or practitioner of Dhamma, they used to ask me, what do you think Mahayana is true? I say, why? They say, they teach different things. And I say, no, I find it the same. It's not different. It's because you don't understand their teaching. And you don't really clearly comprehend the Theravada teaching. When you have penetrated the tradition of the Theravada, and you have penetrated the Mahayana, you will come to realize one very peculiar thing. They are actually the same. From the basic Theravada tradition's teaching, you can comprehend the Mahayana teaching. No problem. Yeah. It's as straightforward as that. That's why this Heart Sutta book is very beautiful. Yeah? So I read on the last paragraph, page 1. It has always been bred to your sincere intention and wish that Dhamma friends, spiritual practitioners, seekers of truth, and cultivators of the way will be able to make use of this enclosed Heart Sutta meditation class's short note to develop a better and clearer understanding of the Dhamma as taught by the Buddha, so that they may progress along the path of Dhamma to become more virtuous and wiser human beings that can be a blessing to all. So at least now you understand how this book come about. As these short notes were mostly only important pointers prepared, as prepared by Sister Lee for my editing. As such, it may not be as complete compared to the recorded talk. Hence, it is hoped that reader who wants to benefit more will listen to the whole recording, so as to have a clearer and more complete understanding of what has been shared. For those who want to listen to the recording, they can download the talk from our website, www.mailcom.com, by clicking onto the menu, repository, recordings of classes, Sunday class, Wu Ping Jing Sir, Heart Sutra 212 recordings link. So the link is https://brotio.com/heartsutra212/. Or we are contacting Brother Chin Hao at his email, or Sister Lee at her email, or Brother Sui An at his email for more detail. Okay, the second edition is very important too. On the 8th of March 2020, 8 years later, we did a second edition. The reason for the second edition was mooted earlier to coincide with the need for a second reprint of this Heart Sutra book. In doing so, we have included the following activities to help improve the readability of this book. Correct whatever printing errors, spelling and grammar mistakes detected in the first edition. Since the first edition tag is aligned to the colloquial speeches in the talk, some editorial amendment has been made to the text without distracting from the essence of the talk. Then number three, useful subheading has been added to all the Heart Sutra classes listed in the table of content to help readers look for the topic that interests them more easily. So this one is very useful. Last time I remember, only lesson one, lesson two, until lesson 40 something. So now, every of these lessons, they got their subheading, which are very useful. Then Appendix 8 was added. Explanation of the Abhijja Sutra, Sutra on Ignorance. The reason why we added was when we came up with a website in 2017, I was asked to compile the website's content. So when I contemplated the content for the website, then I realized this sutta is very important. Abhijja Sutta. Actually, it's meant to be. I was going through the internet. Then suddenly I click on this link, Abhijja Sutta. Yeah, I was curious, how come there is a sutra on Abhijja ignorance? And when I click on it, I read the thing. I don't think normal people can understand the sutra. But I saw the beautiful meaning, the deep meaning, how it was connected to Sakyamuni Buddha's full teaching. Then I realized the two sequence, the enlightenment sequence and the downfall sequence, the 9 step and the 10 step. Then I realized they mesh with the Satipatthana Sutta and all the other sutta very closely. And the way the Buddha actually proclaimed that sutta, it was so beautiful. And for cultivator of the way, you need to go to this sutta to gain understanding. Because this sutta guide you the 10 steps towards enlightenment, how you start. You need to have the first most important one, which is Dhammapada, true Dhammapada. Because without that, the Buddha said, you cannot move on to the step two, which is having the condition to constantly listen to the true Dhamma. Then step three is to develop the faith, the understanding. Then the other step continue until step seven. By then, if I, after you finish step four and five, you would have been at least a Sotapanna, then possibility of Sakadagami too. Then only you cultivate step eight, the four foundation of mindfulness. That's why under step eight, the four foundation of mindfulness state clearly. You will realize at least Anagami, if not Arahantship. That was the reason. Then step nine is when the four foundation of mindfulness has been cultivated properly, you will give rise to the step nine, which is the seven factors of enlightenment. So when you saw the seven factors of enlightenment arising within your mind state, you know you are on the right path. And these are factors that make you enlightened. Then you will come to know enlightenment in the here and the now is guaranteed. That's why step 10 is the enlightenment section. So that appendix is very important. That's why I had it in. Then number 5 is appendix 6a, Trinity. To understand the cultivation has been added. So this one is explaining to you the four stages of creation. How from that oneness nature, the source, we come out. The first thing to come out is the pure awareness. From the pure awareness, it springs forth the mundane mind. The mundane mind is the one that created the world of consciousness or the phenomenal world of consciousness. That's why finally, the fourth step of creation is the phenomenal world of consciousness. Everything within the conditioned world that we come to experience through our senses. And they all spring forth from the mundane mind. So to understand truth, to understand the creation, we have to reverse this process through meditation. Through understanding the unreality of this form and mind. Through understanding the unreality of the phenomenal world of consciousness. Then we return external phenomenal world of consciousness back to the mundane mind. We are from the mundane mind it creates. Then when we cease this mundane mind, we realize the true mind, which is our pure awareness nature. That's how we develop wisdom. Then from the pure awareness, we can develop the direct seeing, the awakening, to understand clearly what life is. The conditioned world. Then from there, when we stabilize the awareness nature, we will come to understand what that nature is. Then when we realize Nibbana, we will know what that source is. Then when we perfect ourselves to the Bodhisattva way, to realize perfection of wisdom and virtue leading to Samasa Buddhahood or the fully enlightened one. Then we will have perfect omniscience or omniscience or all-knowing ability of the fully enlightened. That's how the spiritual understanding and cultivation of the Buddhist teaching is to be developed. Okay. Then the acknowledgement is very important. Page 3. It is the donor's sincere intention that the Heart Sutta Kamma Meditation Class Short Notes, second edition, be given free to all those who are interested and have the affinity to receive them. I would like to take this opportunity to thank and rejoice in the generosity and wholesomeness of all those Dhamma friends or Kayamita who had donated and helped out in the compilation, typing, formatting, proofreading, etc. to make this free distribution of Dhamma Dana possible. Special thanks should be accorded to Sister Pamasuri, who had personally taken the initiative to prepare the second edition update for my editing, and Bradu, Sister Inbi, and Sister Sui for their very useful and rather important input, thereby enabling this Heart Sutta Commeditation Class Short Note Second Edition to have the condition to be printed for free distribution. Then, by the power of all this wholesomeness, may all beings be well and happy, free from all mental and physical suffering, harms and danger, and may there be love, peace, and joy deep within their heart, so that the world will be a much more peaceful world, with greater harmony always. And may all this also pave the way for there to be causes and conditions for all Dharma friends who have donated or have out in one way or other to realize their good and noble wishes or aspirations as soon as possible. So shall we rejoice? Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. So that ends the introduction. Okay, so we go to the Sutta proper.
Morning, brother and sister of the Dharma. Okay, then we start with page 5.
Yes.
First Heart Sutta class. Short notes taken during the talk for sharing. Part 1 introduction. 1.1 definition. Paramitas. Sanskrit crossover. In Mahayana Buddhism, paramita means a perfection or virtuous quality practiced by a bodhisattva in the course of his spiritual cultivation. Prajna in Sanskrit or panya in Pali means wisdom. 1.2 The Heart of Prajna Paramita Sutra. When Avalokiteshvara Bodhisattva was practicing the profound Prajna Paramita, he illuminated the 5 khandhas or aggregates of form and mind and saw that they are all empty, and he crossed beyond all suffering and difficulty. Sariputta, form does not differ from emptiness. Emptiness does not differ from form. Form itself is emptiness, and emptiness itself is form. So too are feeling, connection, formation, and consciousness. Sariputta, all Dhamma are empty of characteristics. They are not produced, not destroyed, not defiled, not pure, and they neither increase nor diminish. Therefore, in true emptiness, there is no form, feeling, connection, formation, or consciousness, no eyes, ears, nose, tongue, body, or mind, no sight, sounds, smells, taste, object of touch, or dhamma, no feel of the eyes, up to and including no feel of mind consciousness, and no ignorant or ending of ignorance, up to and including no old age and death or ending of old age and death. There is no suffering, no accumulating, no extinction, no way, and no understanding and no attaining. Because nothing is attained, the Bodhisattva, true reliance on Prajna Paramita is unimpeded in his mind. Because there is no impediment, he is not afraid, and he leaves distorted dream thinking far behind, ultimately Nirvana. All Buddhas of the 3 periods of time attain Anuttara Samyasa Sambodhi through reliance on Prajna Paramita. Therefore, know that Prajna Paramita is a great spiritual mantra, a great bright mantra, a supreme mantra, an unequaled mantra. It can remove all suffering. It is genuine and not false. That is why the mantra of Prajnaparamita was spoken. Recite it like this.
Gate, gate, paragate, parasamgate, bohi swaha. So this is very beautiful. Eh? Thank you so much, Tammy. So the Mandarin version, you know Mandarin, how you read the Mandarin version?
Xin Ting, Guan Zi Zai Pu Sa, Xing Shen Po Ye Po Lo Mi Do Shi, Zhao Jian Wu Yun Jie Kong, Du Yi Jie Ku Er, Se Li Zi, Se Bu Yi Kong, Kong Bu Yi Se, Se Ji Shi Kong, Kong Ji Shi Se, Sou Xiang Xing Shi Yi Fu Ru Si, Se Li Zi, 自诸法空相，住法空相，住法空相，不生不灭，不垢不净，不增不减，是故空中无色，无受想行识，五言而鼻色生意，无色生香味触法，五言五言界乃至无意识界，无无明意，无无明尽。 乃至无老死尽，无老死尽，无苦集，苦集灭道，无智亦无得，以无所得故，菩提萨埵依波罗蜜多故，心无挂碍，无挂碍故，无有恐怖，远离颠倒颠倒梦想，究竟涅槃，三世诸佛依波罗蜜多故。 得阿耨陀罗三藐三菩提，故至波耶波罗蜜多是大神咒，是大明咒，是无上咒，是无等等咒，能除一切苦，正是不虚。故说波耶波罗蜜多咒，即说咒曰：揭谛揭谛，波罗僧揭谛，菩提萨埵诃。
嗯，啊对，嗯。 Let us rejoice. Sadhu. Yeah, this sutta is so beautiful. Yeah? If you can comprehend and understand, you will awaken to profound wisdom. But this is what the Prajna Paramita Sutta is about. Prajna is wisdom. Paramita is perfection. Perfection of wisdom sutta as developed by Kuan Yin Bodhisattva's nature. That's why this one is very powerful. In fact, a lot of Bodhisattvas, when they cultivate perfection of wisdom, they rely on this sutta. So now we look at the sutta. For those who know Mandarin, you will have. For those who don't know Mandarin, you read the English. It is also helpful. Do you realize there is a lot about the five aggregate that is mentioned there? The opening statement. When Avalokiteshvara Bodhisattva was cultivating the profound Prajna Paramita, he illuminated the five skandhas. That's why this five skandha is the five aggregate of forming mind. This is the most important teaching. And saw that they were all empty. 无蕴皆空. 照见, the Mandarin word is better. 照 means shine onto it. 见, insight into. Means the direct seeing awaken to the unique characteristics that this five aggregate of form and mind are empty. And because of that, he crossed beyond all suffering and difficulty. No more problem. So how can we understand this Heart Sutta? We need to understand what is this five aggregate of form and mind. True or not? If you can't understand the five aggregate of form and mind, then you cannot understand what Kuan Yin is trying to explain to you through the sutta. Then after that, he straight away told Sariputta. He said, form does not differ from emptiness. Emptiness does not differ from form, for form itself is emptiness, and emptiness itself is form. You have to realize this through the cultivation, otherwise you cannot understand. So how do we understand all this? We need to actually develop the cultivation. Then we can understand. Otherwise, like a lot of Theravada tradition, sometimes because of their lack of understanding, they were very confused. They say they tend not to believe what the suttas say. They say, form is form lah. How can form be empty? Logical, isn't it? Logical, not? Huh? What is form? Huh? All this physical form. Yeah? The table, the chair, the physical body, the building, everything. Form is form. How can form be emptiness? And emptiness is form. For form itself is emptiness, and emptiness itself is form. So how do we understand this? Yeah. Anybody want to try? Yeah? How do we understand this? Why is form empty? Anybody? Nobody. Okay. Let's discuss it. Okay. Let's say, yeah, there's a box. Okay. So this is the physical form. Yeah? So according to Kuan Yin Bodhisattva, he said this form is emptiness, and emptiness is form. How do we reconcile? This so-called box is a convention which we call physical phenomena or physical object form. So what we do is we use our mundane mind to perceive. Then we say this is form. Then again, through logic, we say empty means what? Empty means don't have anything in it. True or not? Empty. That's why I don't have anything. So he said, this one and that one, how can it be the same? But they don't realize. Before this form occupied that space, what was it? It was empty, understand now? That's why form is actually inside the emptiness. That's why form is emptiness. Emptiness is form. And that one is very important. So that you don't go and through thought process, through your knowledge, through your idea, through your thought process, create the delusion and the division. What can you see? Initially, that space was already there, like our mind, spacious awareness. That space is already there. Then how did all these images appear within the content of consciousness to create all this phenomenal world of form? It's the same. That's why when we understand all this through the direct seeing, through the awareness, we awaken. Why? Because originally, that true mind was just spacious awareness. Do you understand? No word, no concept, nothing. It's just that awareness, nature. Then everything that arises fill up that room. And how did it arise? Through your mundane thinking, your mundane mind. Like yesterday I explained. When you are not in the state of awareness, means you are preoccupied with the thinking. True or not? Man can only do one thing at a time. Either you are aware without thought, to be with the moment, to observe, to sight, to understand what is going on, means silent mind observing. Or you are completely lost in thought, heedless, preoccupied in what you are thinking. Then normally what does human being do or think? They think about their problems, understand? That's why they are preoccupied with their own health, their own career, their own relationship, their own life problem. Then they are preoccupied with their family, their children, their grandchildren, their property, their career, their wealth, and countless first number two reality. So when your mind is being preoccupied by all this, you cannot understand spiritual teaching. You cannot understand that originally you are that pure awareness, which is spacious awareness, without anything. All this that come and occupy your mind, these are external phenomenal world, external objects created by mind. That's why they are dependent, originating, manifesting through the mundane mind. That's why this one is unreal. So now you see, you don't just take it as knowledge, just follow what I explained. Yeah, but they say originally empty, ma. Then this fog come in. So this fog fill the empty space. So fog and the emptiness is the same, understand not? But it fills the same space. That's why form is emptiness. Emptiness is form. So if you understand it just like that, it means you are at the superficial. You have not penetrated in. To penetrate in is to understand what that emptiness is. Emptiness doesn't mean nothing. Emptiness means no permanent unchanging entity. Then empty nature of existence, you understand? There are things, there are phenomena, but they are not real. They are empty because they come and go and it's gone. You cannot hold, you cannot grasp, you cannot cling, and you cannot like hold on to it and say, this is mine, this is I. Like what I used to share with you all. Since birth until now, we can never deny that we existed through that phase of life. But is it real? Is it real? It's already gone, isn't it? There is no more reality there. The reality exists within the moment. Split second is day and gone. Split second is day and gone. So what is going on in life, in nature, within the conditional? It's not what you think. You can only recall through memory. That's why I like the Mandarin song, 往事只能回味. You can only recall the past. And there is no more reality. Your past is already gone. Like Krishnamurti said, as dead as a dry leaf. But if you have a mundane mind, a thinking mind, that cling on to it, hold on to it through memory, that it appears like real. But how real can it be? That is what delusion is all about. 梦想颠倒, you understand? Dream thinking, inverted dream thinking. The Mandarin word is very good, very beautiful. So see very clearly that the phenomenal world is just empty, not real, dependent originating, condition arising, cause of. That's why the Buddha came out with the teaching of emptiness. But in the Theravada tradition, he used the word anatta. In fact, anatta is a very, very powerful word. Anatta also includes emptiness. Anatta is not just non-self, like usually translated by the Theravada tradition. Even in the chanting, just now, you read non-self. No, the deeper meaning is not a permanent unchanging entity. That's why it's not only non-self. Means everything is just not what you think. Yeah, they are dependent originating. They come and go, no reality. That's why ultimately empty. It's just like the saying, When we are born into this world, we come empty, right? That's why the Mahayana also has a very beautiful saying. Lai ye kong, qi ye kong. What is the meaning? Lai means you came to this existential world, means you are born into this world. You came empty-handed, isn't it? You bring nothing, isn't it? Then when you die, can you bring along all your possession, your wealth, your loved one? You can't, isn't it? That's why you come empty, you return empty. But there is this nature's law within existence, the law of karma. That form of mind is subject to karma. That is the only thing affecting that form of mind. So see, because this form of mind is dependent originating, condition arising, karmically conditional for us to arise, then it come and go, come and go. Every segment of birth and death will come, every of this birth, none of them are you. They are just segmented form of mind within the existence. Can you see? That's why we can do that. Then they call it liberate your mind so that you are no longer deluded. So this teaching, this sutta is to be understood profoundly, deeply when you meditate through mindfulness, through awareness. When you are aware, all this become very easy to understand. But when you try to use thought, knowledge to comprehend, then you become intellectual. You don't have wisdom. Then you can maybe debate, talk about it, then intellectualize it. But the wisdom is not there. The understanding is not there. So Dharma cultivation is not about knowledge. It's not about using the thought, because it's not a technical thing. It's not something you learn as a knowledge. It's something that you have to awaken to, insight into. That's why you need to use your pure awareness nature, not the thought process. Because the Dhamma that we are going to realize is beyond thought, beyond mind. Can you understand? Okay? So with this, I will go into the five aggregate of form and mind. The rest of the, what they call, heart sutta, is all linked to that understanding of the five aggregate of form and mind. And when you penetrate it, all the conditioned and the unconditioned that is explained in the heart sutta become very clear. That's why he said, in true emptiness, whatever exists in the conditioned world doesn't exist in the unconditioned. You saw that section, right? That section is very important. After Sariputta gone through all those things, he said, Sariputta, form does not differ from emptiness. Emptiness does not differ from form. For form itself is empty. This second part is more difficult. You must have mindfulness to see why form itself is empty. I thought you are in it. How do you see form itself is actually empty? That's why you have to inquire, go into it. How do I perceive that form? Two, one. Consciousness, isn't it? And what is consciousness? Just an image. Laterally inverted by the brain, and you perceive that mental form has no reality. That's why I share with you all, if you can have the mindfulness to observe, you realize they arise through condition. Without condition, that form like this table doesn't arise. As an engineer, I know this building needs all the causes and conditions for it to arise. So externally is already dependent originating condition arising. No condition, nothing happened. Understand? Like this table. You need the raw material, you need a skilled workman or machine or whatever to produce it. Then somebody marketed it. Then somebody bought it. offer to the temple, then we use it. Arise already, exist. Like the one for, it's the same. Everything that you come to perceive in this world, they have their causes and condition for their arising. So like the Bullock analogy. When you put the parts together, it performs a function, you give it a name and a concept, then it arises, it exists. You understand? Like the table. But when you take all these parts away, what happened? Gone, no more. But when human being, the three conditions that supported this phenomena separate, you say they die. But the block at the table, you don't say they die. You say destroy, no more. So externally, it's really not real. Dependent originating, condition arising. Then how do you know that is the form, the table, the block and all those things? It's just an image, understand, not created by the thought. And how real is this image? Externally, dependent originating, already not so real. But when you perceive it, the actual knowing or perception of it is just an image, is even more unreal, isn't it? True or not? Then why do you cling onto it, grasp onto it, and give it so much meaning? That's why form itself is actually empty, not what you think. It is dependent originating, condition arising, cause of phenomena. But that one is more difficult to understand. So all this can be understood. Then after that he said, Sariputta, all Dhamma are empty of characteristics. See? When you go beyond the conditioned world, they are empty of characteristics. They are not produced, not destroyed. But in the conditioned world, everything you see dependent on anything, like they arise, they produce, and they destroy. Sanmiya, birth and death. But in true emptiness, it's different. That's why the Hasutta says, Sariputta, all Dhamma are actually empty of characteristics. That's why they have all this. This is the unconditioned. Then he said, therefore, listen to this, therefore, in true emptiness, there is no what? Form, feeling, perception, cognition is perception, formation is sankhara activity and consciousness. Do you understand? In true emptiness, the five aggregates of form and mind do not exist. That's why the conditioned world has its own sets of Dhamma and reality. Reality, karma, everything pertains to the conditioned world. But in true emptiness, if the five aggregates of form and mind also not there, then how real can all these things be? That's why after that he continued, he said, no eye, no ear, no nose, no tongue, no tactile or mind. Then no sense data, everything. So because of all this, you will know in true emptiness, there is also no ignorance or ending of ignorance, no old age, death, and ending of old age and death. No four noble truth. There is no contradiction, understand? The Theravada who don't understand this teaching, is it? What is going on? Is it everything don't exist? The Hasutta said. And the Buddha teach all this. That's why I don't use the logical mind to reason or to analyze. Otherwise, you cannot penetrate the Dhamma. Okay, so this part, once you understand, you will understand the rest. Okay, now we go to the five aggregate of form and mind. Let me read on here.
1.3, the five khandhas, or aggregates of form and mind. Two aspects to it. Number one, first aspect, as a human being, whether rupa, form, is the physical form or body. Two, then the second aspect, as the five mental aggregates, where the mental rupa forms are external forms brought into the mind by the aggregates of mental perception or sanya. Perception or sanya is translated as cognition by the Venerable Master Xuan Hua in his book, The Heart of Prajna Paramita Sutra. Vedana, sanya, and sankhara are contents of consciousness. Sankhara is mental formations, mental activities, mental state, mental intention, mental planning, scheming, etc. Everything that the mind can do, including feeling and perception. Consciousness or vijnana, receptacle or the container. Six sense door are the eye, ear, nose, tongue, bodily tactile, and mind doors.
Okay, very good. So this one, any question, the five, the two aspects, by now I think it should be clear. The first aspect, very easy to understand. The first aspect, we have gone through then, as a human being. So as a human being, you don't have to know the teaching. Forget about the teaching. Then inquire, find out. This is how you learn, yes or not. Don't go and commit to memory. Remember to memory the knowledge. Then every time people ask you, you try to retreat to memory. Rupa, Vedana, Sanya, Sankara, and Vijnana. No meaning. What is important is to understand it. Why did the Buddha say the five aggregate of form and mind? That I am the five aggregate of form and mind. And what does he mean? And he's referring to the human being as the first aspect. As a human being, what do you have? You draw it out easier to understand it. I'm not good at drawing. So I draw a skeleton on. So this one is the physical body. Physical form, or body. Okay? Then you have a consciousness trapped inside. So this consciousness that is trapped inside and the physical body, it consists the human being. Okay? So this whole thing you can say is the human being, this whole thing. So the Buddha said the first aggregate is the physical form. So this is the rupa. In Pali, we call it the rupa, the physical form. Then there is this consciousness or what they call mind. The mind, the Buddha, subdivide into four more aggregates. So this one is the first aspect of five aggregates of form and mind. So this first aspect is as a human being. So to understand why the Buddha subdivide the mind into four more aggregates is very easy. Just assume you don't know anything. Inquire, check. Understand? Don't believe. Like this physical body is confirming that I have a physical body. This is a physical form. Okay? That teaching is acceptable. Then this mind, you have to inquire, what can your mind do? What can your mind do? Yeah? Your mind can, first aggregate is what? Feeling. Your mind can feel, isn't it? So feeling is one of the aggregates. And this is what the Buddha called Vedana. Vedana. Then after that, your mind can perceive. So perception is sanya. So feeling like hot and cold, pleasant and unpleasant feeling, you can feel it. Understand? That is the ability of the mind. Then you can perceive what you see, what you hear, what you smell, what you taste, what you tactile feel and recollect through memory. Then what else can your mind do? Your mind can create thinking, you think a lot. Thinking. Or what the Buddha called is sankhara activities. So Sankara, like in the Heart Sutta, they use so many English words to try to define what this Sankara is. Actually, Sankara, I finally summarized it for you. Everything that your mind can do, including feeling and perception, is Sankara. And these three become the content of consciousness. This is the content, consciousness. Then the last one is what? What else can your mind do? Your mind can become conscious, isn't it? Conscious of what you see, what you hear, what you smell, what you taste, what you tactile feel and think. So consciousness is also one aspect of your mind. This is what your mind can do. So this is what vijnana is. This consciousness is actually the pure consciousness before the content go in. You understand? That's why in the Paticca-samuppada, avijja paccaya sankara, sankara paccaya vijnana. This pure vijnana before the content go in. Understand? Not? From the spacious awareness, our nature, when you want to perceive something, you zoom in. Understand? Not? That's why you zero and zoom in into a tiny area instead of the spacious area. So you lost your ability to understand that you are the oneness. Then that space, when you input the content of consciousness, it trigger off and become the thought. That's how this one becomes the receptacle. This content go into the receptacle. This one is the receptacle. The spelling correct, right? The air. Oh.
Yeah.
Okay, receptacle. Huh? Thank you. So these two together become the thought. Understand? This is the second aspect of the five aggregate of form and mind. And within here, there is only four aggregate of mind. How did the external form enter the mind? Through the aggregate of perception, sanya. Understand? That's why here there is also the five aggregate of form and mind. Can follow? So the five aggregate of form and mind is very easy to understand when you assume you don't know anything. Don't be conditioned by what other teaching you have. Assume you don't know anything. Find out. Inquire. Then all these things become clear. Then no need to rely on people's commentary, explanation. Then you can penetrate the Buddha's teaching deeply, clearly, with this. Then now you put to test the final summary. The Buddha said, in short, where you grasp and cling onto this five aggregate of form and mind, which is empty, suffering, dukkha arise. So put to test. And how to put to test? When you are aware, find out. When you attach to the physical body, do you suffer? You suffer again. You worry about it, getting old, getting sick, and die one day. You think it's you. Delusion, superiority. That's why in the five daily contemplation, the essential Dhamma, the Buddha teaches you how to reflect, contemplate, and overcome that delusion. This body of ours goes the way of nature. That's why it's subject to all this old age, sickness, and death. For it has not gone beyond old age, sickness, and death. And this is not you. Like the Buddha finally realized, that's why his problem no more. If you don't realize this and cling on to this, you will get into big trouble. Then when you cling on to this, you think you exist, then you think feeling is you, real. Anger is you. Fear is you. Then you get triple deluded. No, he doesn't want to do it. Yeah. You grasp at the physical, you grasp at the feeling, then you grasp at everything that arises within the form and mind. Everything you see, you give meaning. My loved one, my property, my prized possession, my career, my title, my whatever. That's how you grasp, you cling, you attach, you hold, and you create bondage, suffering, affliction. Because when things change because of the nature's law, law of dependent originating, because it's a conditional, it cannot stay forever, a permanent unchanging entity. It will come, it will go, it will evolve. He will get old, he will get sick, and finally die. Everything is the same. The beautiful flower is ephemeral. It will fade, it will decay, it will be gone. So be observant to see, to realize, to understand, to awaken. Then you have no more problem with life, with understanding the teaching. Okay? Can follow? Any question? Huh? Yeah. So by now, I think this should be very clear already. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Tammy, read on.
Part 2. Meditation and Important Essential Karma. 2.1. The five mental hindrances that hinder the mind from becoming peaceful and aware within are sensual desire, ill will, sloth and torpor, sleepiness, lethargic mind, restlessness of mind, and doubt. To counter it, we need to cultivate the opposite five spiritual faculties. 2.2. The opposite five spiritual faculties are Sada, faith, Viriya, spiritual will, Sati, mindfulness, Samadhi, collectedness or unwavering mind, and Panya, wisdom. 2.3. Five daily reflections or contemplation leading to initial wisdom.
Okay, I think we stop here. What I will do is, I think your direction is too near here. It causes distortion. Tell me, can you sit somewhere else to read? Huh? What is it?
Last time you read next to you. The previous retreat, we sit your
place. Oh, you sit next to me. Oh, come on. Okay, I will need a toilet break, huh? 3 minutes. Okay. Yeah, I need to go toilet already. Just now drink too much during the breakfast.
But then Chi Wei is online.
Oh, good. Sadhu. Oh, Chi Wei from Perth is online. Okay. Welcome, Chi Wei. Sadhu.
2.3. Five daily reflections or contemplations leading to initial wisdom.
Read them.
1. This body of ours is of the nature to grow old and decay, for it has not gone beyond old age and decay. 2. This body of ours is of the nature to be diseased or get sick, for it has not gone beyond disease or sicknesses.
So this one is very true. Huh? You check your physical body. Don't believe what is being said or taught by people. You have to investigate yourself to satisfy yourself that this is true. Our physical body is of the nature to grow old, go through the process of decay. We can see ourselves aging, isn't it? No matter how well we keep, aging is a nature's law. It's a reality of life and existence. Not only you go through, everybody goes through. So awaken to it. That this physical body is not what you think. It is subject to nature's condition. And it's made up of the four elements only, no reality. Then number two is, this nature of ours of the, this body of ours is of the nature to be diseased, sick. Also subject to injury. You can add it. The injury is also a common thing. When you fall sick, then you have traumatic disease, then you have injury. All this can give rise to suffering. But if you know that that body is of the nature to fall sick, be diseased, and subject to injury, then you have to accept that reality. But this is a reality. When it happens, not only you subject to it, everybody's form and mind is subject to it. That's why you don't take care of karma. Karma cannot take care of you. If you kill and harm, cause suffering, injury, then you reap what you sow. All this will hit back at you. Understand? That's why you contemplate, you reflect with understanding and check. Then you realize the essential Dhamma of the Buddha on the five daily contemplation is so true and so beautiful, so important to develop wisdom and understanding. Okay, the third one, let me continue.
Three, this body of ours is of the nature to die, for it has not gone beyond death.
True or not? Yeah? And death can be very traumatic, especially death of a loved one, death of somebody who is the breadwinner. So when you have attachment to somebody, can be a loved one or somebody very dear to you, even your close friend, your neighbor, your parents or whatever, suffering can arrive at death or separation due to whatever that cause of death is a reality. Whatever that is born is of the nature to die. So what is born will sooner or later die. So this reality we have to bear in mind, accept, then we can transcend. Okay, the next one more important.
Four, all that is dear to us, our loved ones, our wealth, possessions, etc., are impermanent and conditions arising. Hence, they will separate from us one day.
So this one is very important. You have to reflect and contemplate why they are conditioned arising, cause of the phenomenon, why they are impermanent. Especially your loved ones, things that you hold on to dearly, your possession, etc., could be your title. Whatever you cling on to, hold on to, and believe you own them or dear to you. Because separation can happen in many ways, through nature's disaster, through disease, through war, through whatever, earthquake, tsunami. And nowadays, pandemic too, car accident, kidnapping, and extortion, war, and whatever. Then sometimes, economic crisis, you make a wrong decision, make a wrong call, you lost everything. So all these are the realities of life and existence that human beings encounter during crisis. Crisis can be economic crisis, nature's disaster, or whatever crisis, like this pandemic is also a crisis. So these five daily contemplation, they are very beautiful. When you understand them, that these are realities of life, then you accept them. Where everyone is subject to it, not only you. Then when you accept, you transcend, here you have contemplated. This is the nature. Nature's law is like that. Okay, the last one, yeah, most important.
Number five, we are all born of our karma, heir to our karma, conditioned and supported by our karma, and we are what we are because of our karma.
Yeah, this one is most important. When you understand this statement, the fifth daily contemplation that the Buddha wants you to do, what must you do? Take care of karma, because you are born of karma, heir to your karma, conditioned, supported by your karma. You are what you are every moment, every instant because of karma. You somehow want to wait for what? If you don't take care of karma, your life is going to be miserable and tangled. And how to take care of karma? Follow the advice of the Buddha. First one, avoid all evil by keeping the precept, like what Ng Bee said. Understand? Your precept consists of restraint, committing major evils. You check the precept. They have the evil roots behind. You break them means you break major evil. It causes your coming downfall. It will lead to suffering, misery, and you reap what you sow. So reflect on this every day, the Buddha say, and wake up until you realize not worthwhile to break all these precepts. Not worthwhile to actually neglect yourself, to be heedless and don't take care of karma. To take care of karma, you need to follow the advice of the Buddha. First one is to keep the precept. To keep the precept, you need mindfulness. You need awareness. You need sati. Otherwise, you cannot see your mental intention. You need to understand the essential Dhamma, what constitutes you, The three evil roots are evil. Go into it. Greed, hatred, and delusion. Expand on it and understand how it becomes a living reality. This is what the real Dhamma cultivation is all about. Not just read the theory and put it into the bookshelf. Then forget about it. Then go through life, become miserable again. Then after that, Dhamma lo, got knowledge but cannot do lo, what can I do lo, or attachment ma. So all these justification, then sometimes people give a lot of other justification. That day at the Thursday, I think Han and the sister, they went through, they lost themselves, cannot find a way. Then Han said, old school ma. So old school no need to learn. When you learn Dhamma, old school or new school, you have to learn, but learn through understanding, understand or not? Not to allow your thought to condition you and stop that. I got a reason why I cannot understand or why I cannot do it. No point. Everything that you justify is to create your own delusion. Who justify? The thought justify. So all this habitual tendency, delusion, see, awaken to it. And once you awaken to it, you will never do it again. Because this fifth contemplation is so important, so powerful. If karma is the basis of my life, I will go all out to take care of karma. And to do it, I must avoid all evil. Do good. Do good means what? After developing mindfulness to avoid all evil through keeping the precepts via mindfulness, then I use mindfulness and the four-right effort together with the five ways, the third and the fourth way, the meditative way, to develop the necessary understanding and wisdom to root out all this defilement. Otherwise, I cannot abandon the wrong thought, wrong speech, wrong action that has arisen. I cannot prevent it from arising. Yeah. Pass the mind to. Can we use this mind? Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Pass it to. Never mind. It's okay. Can be recorded. Yeah. It's okay. It's okay.
Then the phone will have echo when I record.
No, no. Try it out. Try it. Never mind, it's okay. It's okay. Never mind, it's okay.
Emphasize this. Because this one, my own experience.
Yeah, sadhu, very good.
Personal experience give a lot of faith.
Yeah.
Because it's not theory, you know. It's not theory. Okay, you have to go through it, experience it, and you have to study to see the reaction.
Correct. Yes.
Now, I was talking with being a Pujanan. So you're always very heedless. So you just, when you're not happy, you have agitation of the mind, you will heat up. The first thing is your reaction, respond to your whatever stirring of the mind, you will heat up.
Yeah, change the mic. They scared the recording got echo. It's okay.
So,
off the thing, off the mic, off the mic. No, didn't on yet. The light is still there.
Okay,
continue.
So being heedless, you don't have the mindfulness to be aware of what you are doing.
Yeah.
So you just heat up to satisfy your ego.
Correct. Yes. Yeah.
So you actually not aware of what you do, you know? Okay,
correct.
You just, I would say, blindly do, you know. Okay, but once you have the sati, the mindfulness, okay, so when you learn your so-called Dhamma and you cultivate pati, so you have mindfulness in your daily life activities. So when
Example, huh? I don't want to mention name.
Yeah,
after
yeah.
My husband will hit me.
Okay, okay. Yeah.
So he said something, you know, blah, 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 you know, then I hear, wow, unpleasant.
Yeah.
So you stop there, you know, you
yeah,
stop
yeah,
there.
Yeah.
You
Yeah.
stop there,
Yeah.
and then you say, avoid all evil, you dumb up,
Yeah, yeah,
come
yeah.
out.
That's why the Yoniso Manasikara, they were
come up.
Immediately, spontaneously
so
surface.
You want to protect your karma, you know, you want to protect
Yeah,
your
yeah,
karma.
yeah.
You don't want to hit up.
Yeah.
Say, Amitabha, and I understand the world is the world. He is the
Yeah,
way.
Yeah, yeah,
He,
there is.
you know.
Sadhu.
So
Yeah.
you don't react, and you will say something nice to him so that he feels, oh, soothing,
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
soothing, you know, soothing.
Especially your own husband or spouse, you tell him thank you so much. Oh, he will be very surprised.
Yes, exactly.
Otherwise, yeah, every time argument.
Yes, yes. So you avoid an argument, and then you have peace. You know,
correct, correct,
peace, you know.
correct.
Wow,
Correct.
Very good. So, okay, but to a putujana that doesn't have mindfulness,
they
wow,
cannot stop.
Stop.
Straight away they react.
Then shock. I cannot lose out to you.
Correct.
I cannot let you
set Correct. Correct. Especially the spouse that want to dominate the
yes,
wife.
Yes.
So that one, ibu hobi no no every time. Kalau kau ni lu ku aneh kon, ATI atau tapai cocho, the dominating one. Then,
So this is very, very important in daily life.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
I mean, husband and wife relationship is like that. Siblings
yeah, yeah.
Do the same thing.
Yeah, yeah, same. You, your children also
yeah,
same.
Children also same thing. This one, I find it very, very good to cultivate every
Correct.
Day. This one, every day happen.
Yeah, every day happen.
So
yeah.
If you cannot keep this in mind,
yeah,
why every day you make really create a lot of negative
yeah 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 yeah
no stop. That's why the house will be not peaceful, the
correct
family not
lack of harmony
yes,
and all those things.
That's the reason lack of harmony
yeah.
You know,
then someone else inside their heart everybody not happy on bosong. So the negative energy pervade on then the deva also did not come.
Yeah.
Because how to come to that house every day also So very important. When there is harmony, then you own the Metta Sutta, or you own the Buddhist, or you listen to Dhamma talk. The Deva will come. The Dhamma protector will rejoice and protect you. That's why a lot of what they call side effect, spin off, which human being doesn't understand. Yeah, what you brought out is very true. Yeah.
Yes. So the other part of it is it's just not one time. You know, it's
yeah.
accumulated. You know, accumulated.
Correct.
This discussion no end one. No.
Yeah, yeah.
You see this incident, then the next day it happened.
Yeah.
Oh, we'll bring up the
yeah,
old
yeah, the
story,
old grandmother story.
Story. Oh my God, you know. So old grandfather story from 10 years ago, 20
yeah,
years
yeah,
ago,
yeah.
whatever, you know. What
yeah.
no ending one, no.
That's what memory is all about.
Yes. So this one, we have to cut it off, you know.
Yeah,
so
yeah, yeah,
so
yeah.
If
yeah.
you cut it off, your baggage, can you imagine your
correct,
baggage,
correct.
Years on
yeah.
your shoulder, you know? Couple
yeah,
years
yeah.
on your shoulder,
yeah.
if you want to bring to your next life,
yeah, yeah.
You know, you must consider that also.
Yeah.
So this life, next life also one time out.
Correct, because you must end it. That's why
yes.
resolve it amicably.
Yes.
Then don't create karmic repercussion.
Correct.
Don't continue all this. You suffer not enough, and you
correct.
Still want to suffer. Huh?
Yes. No wrong, right?
Correct,
it's
yes.
So very important.
Yes.
No wrong.
Because that is the truth. The
yes.
truth, the reality, thing is just the way it is. No right, no wrong one. Right and wrong come from what? The individual's perception. Right, according to who? To you or to your husband. Then, if he is right, you can never be right. Because he and you, the valley already, but if both also can be right, means both have Dhamma, the Sana, Sadhu, then it's different. But very rare you can find both have Dhamma, very rare. Yeah. So that's why you need the understanding to free. That's why you have to be very patient. So sometimes, like my wife, we also know, because my son also got a title, they call habits. He is not to say no good or what, but he is the way he is. When he don't like, He tell you, Ma, and I, no more. Yeah, my wife sometimes wants to like do good, or wants to like take care of you, know, say, then try to do something for you. Then he will say, I want, I will ask from you, or I take from you. Because he is not ready to, yeah, my son is like that one. Then he got certain thing he want to resolve it first. He don't want you to tell him other thing. Because it will interrupt his action and all that. And he's very systematic. So you have to understand. That's why I say after that, I say, oh damn, okay, enough. Then resolve. But he also very reasonable. Then sometimes he also feel bad when he's talking to his parents. So he understand too. But over the years, we have developed this understanding, then we just let things be. Yeah? He has his behavior. We have to accept him for what he is. And he is intelligent too. And he's a very good son. So what else you want? You want to then create misunderstanding for what? Understand that? So life is for us to develop the understanding to decide what type of life we want to lead. If we choose to be heedful, to be mindful, to be aware, to have that understanding, to be at peace with all people and all situations, then we are very happy. The family unit is full of harmony, understanding. That's why the family unit can be what it is. Then when we text him and say we have arrived at Sampo Temple safely, he rejoices, say, yay! I mean, these are the happy behavior. And you can see he responds. Eh? He actually cares for us. But in his own way, you know, that's why people are just the way they are. So when you understand them, things become different. There is a lot of harmony born of understanding. The worst thing is when there is conflict through misunderstanding, that is the worst. And that one always delusion set in, the evil root set in. So what you share is very relevant, very good. Thank you so much, Project. So law of karma, now you understand, cultivator of the way, they really appreciate. Because they see, never worthwhile to do all these things. What type of life? You hold the key to your own life destiny, like I always say. To be happy or unhappy or miserable is entirely your choice. So learn to choose wisely. Don't choose to be deludedly. Following the old way. So all these things is beautiful. Okay, good. Continue.
2.4. Meaning of craving, meditation, and attachment or clinging. Craving is wanting things your way, reacting to. Craving leading to suffering. Meditation is listening, hearing, reading, plus contemplation, plus direct seeing, leading to awakening.
So this is the first turning, second turning, and third turning, wisdom. Sutamayapanya, Chintamayapanya, Bhavanamayapanya.
Attachment is grasping or clinging via delusion, conditioned suffering.
So this one I explained before. Craving, like the day we mentioned, there are three types. But don't just verbalize or take it as knowledge. Sensual craving, craving to be, and craving not to be. So in Pali is Kama Tanha, K-A-M-A, Kama Tanha, then Bhava Tanha and Vibhava Tanha. Then you have to go into it. Sensual craving, what does it mean? It means craving or the senses, like I explained yesterday. With mindfulness, awareness within, find out, investigate, how does craving arise? When I see something, do I develop the habitual craving to stir my mind, to become reactive. So when you see all this inside your awareness, you start to understand who are you, what are you, how you function as a human being, how you get yourself entangled. and become afflicted. Then when you see all this, you like awaken. Then you know how to choose. It's so clear. Black and white, so clear. One lead to suffering, misery. So if you hold the key to your own life destiny, you will have the clarity of mind, understanding and wisdom to choose appropriately. Choose to be heedful, like the Buddha said. Heedfulness is the path to the deafness. The heedful never die. That is what you want. And Dhammapada verse 2, huh? You act, speak and think with a heedful mind that is free of the evil roots of greed, hatred and delusion. Then happiness will follow you like the shadow that never leaves. So understand all these Dhammapada verse, then work towards it. Then avoid Dhammapada verse 1. Avoid heedlessness. That is avoiding the fifth contemplation of getting yourself entangled with the law of karma. So take care of karma means cultivate mindfulness, develop understanding, straighten your view, not to be deluded. So here is the expansion of it, craving. Craving means wanting, understand? It can be positive or negative craving. When you dislike, it is like you want to push away. You want to do away. So craving can be positive or negative. Wanting things your way means even you dislike, you want to push away. That is also a negative craving. So when you cannot get what you want, you suffer. That's why craving will lead to suffering. Then any of these sensual experience or sensual pleasure, they are a prelude to suffering. When you attach, you cling, understand? If you don't attach, you don't cling, you won't suffer. Because whatever that is pleasant will soon change and become unpleasant one day when conditions cease to be. So all this understanding will be there. Then the last part, attachment is more important. From craving, it leads to grasping, clinging, and attachment. That's why all the word grasping, clinging, and attachment, they are the same. Because you, yes. Can. Attachment is you attach to your loved one. You understand that? It's okay. I already translated. Yeah? He said, give example of the tree. Attachment is like you attach to your loved ones, like your children, your grandchildren, or your spouse, or your siblings, or whatever. So attachment means you care for them, you love them. And when you attach means you don't have the Dhamma to accept the reality that might happen, like the Buddha said. The first three of the five daily contemplation, then the fourth daily contemplation, and finally the fifth contemplation. If you don't have the understanding of this five, then you will get yourself entangled. Means you have craving to develop attachment. Then you believe they are your loved one, close to you. They shouldn't get sick. They shouldn't get into trouble. They shouldn't also have traumatic disease and all those things. So when you attach to them, it becomes like a burden to you. If anything were to happen to them, it affects you, understand? That is what attachment is all about. Then when you say grasping means you grasp at certain things, like your prized possession, you grasp. It's no more attached, understand? Because attachment is relationship one normally. But this one is, you like that jewelry or that antique or something, then the prized possession, you want to hold on to it, you know. You don't want to let people steal it, you know, or rob you or create that thing being lost from you. So the fear of losing what you grasp at, it is a craving that leads to suffering. Because that fear is a negative emotion. So that fear constantly makes you miserable. Because that fear. Fear of losing it. Fear of not having it. Then sometimes you make a wrong decision, then it leads to maybe financial collapse or financial trouble during financial crisis or what. Then you realize suddenly everything that you think you own, your business, your wealth, your property, everything you lost, and you somehow owe the bank. And they threaten to sue you and charge you for bankruptcy. So that fear intensifies. So when you grow up, you have this problem. Then clinging is when you cling on to something, like you depend on that person, you cling on to him. When he is not around, you harass him. So there is clinging. So a lot of people, when they become dependent, I think there was one show that my wife was watching with me. The why is the pilot one. Inside there, that couple initially newly married, that Professor Tao was a lecturer, a doctor, sorry, doctor. He became a professor later on. Then the wife newly married got a son just born 1 month old. Then he got a depressed patient, which is happened to be a girl. And the girl was so dependent on him, on the doctor. We had a husband marry another one and don't want her. So he like psychiatric, a psychiatric, treat her. Then she becomes so attached to him, and so dependent. So he cling on to him, like fear of losing him. But his understanding is he's a doctor and a patient relationship. But because of the way she cling on to him, he like harass him, and he go and pretend to be pregnant. Do the pregnancy test and say she is pregnant. And the wife was so angry and divorced the husband. Then 30 years later, the son became a doctor, very famous. Then this professor continued not to marry, hoping her to have the understanding. But the misunderstanding is already there. So finally, when they got the condition to resolve the misunderstanding, she appealed to that patient who finally understood what Dr. Gao is. Cannot, he said, I can't, I'm a doctor. You cannot have that type of foolish thinking, cling on to me. So he decided to went overseas. He went to Africa to do the humanitarian service and overseas as a doctor. Then he studied overseas. Then this girl, no choice, because the doctor also left. Then he remarried and now very happy, got children, everything. Then he contacted her and said, help him explain to the wife. And that is clinging. Clinging, harassing people. It's not attachment. It's not crossing, but it's clinging. Cling on to the doctor. Because he's so dependent on the doctor. So human life, a lot of this type of thing. So you cannot just say, maybe in the video show, cinema, but in real life, a lot like that one. They cling onto the doctor, they become dependent at that time. So, a lot of such problems, and you look at that show, it's explaining to you in China how the new generation of kids behave. They favor son. They don't like daughter one. So son take priority one. Son useless, lazy, also never mind. The sister must support. Marriage also must support. Buy house for them. So it's very good. And finally, how they resolve it through an understanding. So this is like spoiling the child. Spoiling the child means they call it pamper. You pamper the children. So you pamper until he becomes so dependent. Then this one leads to social problem, misunderstanding. That's how the family get totally break up, completely break up, until the daughter was so fed up he decided to sever relationship with the father. Yeah. He said, you already spent too much. I'm also your daughter. Give birth from the same parent. Why he is the son, he is more special. Everything also you favor him, like him, and want me to sacrifice because of him. So she cannot take it. And she is a pilot, very successful. He demand the house, forced to give the house. Demand the car, forced to give the car. Then he said he wants to be a Uber driver and all things. And you know what he did? He realized he cannot survive. After minus all the expenditure, negative. So what he did, he go and sell the car. Without the sister, no. Like, have a deal with a friend. He said, I sell this to you, but unofficial. Every month you pay me how much? Yeah? Then this guy is yours. You use it for Uber and all the things. Then that guy went and hit with an accident, killed somebody. Didn't kill somebody, banged somebody and landed in the hospital. So the police catch him, realized it's not his car. Then he said, my friend have a deal with me. So went to the brother, who is a friend. The brother told the police, it's also not my car, the sister's car. Then the police took him and met up with the sister. Are you the owner of the car? You know what he told the sister? They met with an accident. Either the friend pay or the brother pay, or she, the owner of the car, has to pay. And the person injured in the hospital need $100,000 down payment. And the sister was so angry, the father forced him to pay. Tempered the son and the other.
So what is this one? This is
no, this is pampering. It's also love, understand not? Attachment, love. Because they say, Chinese, you know, the same surname. That's why they favor the son. The daughter marry out, the grandchildren don't follow their surname. Understand not? So that tradition created a misunderstanding and the society's view of what boy is all about. So they always tell you, the China tradition, they actually pamper and love the son much, much more than the daughter. And the worst is what one incident, they got an accident, the sister and the brother and the brother-in-law. Means the sister's boyfriend, fiance, they're supposed to get married. And because of the brother, they don't say something. Then they argue in the car and met with the accident. All three heavily injured. Then when it was at the hospital, the doctor said, you are the father. Huh? We need your blood. Then the father, not enough blood. He said, who you want to save, your daughter or your son? I said, the daughter is so much more successful. He chose a son. And he didn't know the daughter was conscious, no. The daughter heard that in tears. That's why after that he brought that thing out. He said, Anna is Anna. I thought you would change, he told the father. After so many years, you not only don't change, you make situation worse and worse. And you keep on pampering this brother of mine.
It's the good karma.
It's not the good karma. That's why you look at karma so negative. What happened is, last time the father was like the son, do all this to their parents, understand? So now he got a karmic condition, you reap what you sow, he become the father of one fellow who can also become the paikacaya. And because he's the son, you also give it. This is what karma is all about, you reap what you sow. Like coming debt. Son, you have to pay. Because he's your son. This life, your son. Past life, your debtor. Understand? Come and collect that one. Okay? Yeah. So, all this, you have to go into it, then you will understand. But in real life, there's a Dhamma, it's a living Dhamma. You go into life and you make use of life as the what they call field for cultivation. That's a life itself is the greatest teacher. You can learn from life. You can witness all this essential Dhamma and the Four Noble Truths reality in life and existence. Then your understanding of the Dhamma become a living Dhamma, can become a living reality. You can manifest it because you understand. And these are relevant to life, to existence. Then you can help people. Otherwise, you cannot. Otherwise, like Yun Chan, you go and say, hey, this is Kiang Ho Miao. Then what type of Dhamma is that? I don't know. This is Chai Ho Miao. So luckily, you didn't pamper your son. You pamper your daughter. Yeah, even I know. Your daughter stay here. Ah, they are same, man. Yeah, so both also lucky. Okay, we better continue. Sorry, 10:30. Thank you so much, Pocheng and Yun Chan. You continue. Oh, finish it. Okay, chapter two.
Chapter two, part one. Recapitulation and emphasis on the previous lesson 1.1. The 10 perfections or paramita of the Theravada tradition. Dana, giving, generosity, sila, morality, nikkhama, renunciation, panya, wisdom, viriya, spiritual zeal, or strong tenacity or energy to cultivate. Kanti, patience, satya, truthfulness, adhikana, aspiration or resolution or self-determination. Metta, loving kindness, upekkha, equanimity. These are the 10 perfections that the Bodhisattva who is intent to be a Sama Sambuddha must cultivate and perfect. 1.2. The 6 perfections or paramitas of the Mahayana tradition. Dana, giving, generosity, kanti, patience, dhyana, samadhi, sila, precepts of morality, viriya, vigor or spiritual zeal, prajna, wisdom.
I just let you see the two as a comparison. The first one, 1.1, the 10 perfection is from the Theravada tradition's teaching. So these are the 10 perfection that Sakyamuni Buddha went through, perfected himself, and became a Sama Sambuddha. So what the Mahayana did is, they shortened it to 6 perfection, understand not? So you look at the 6 perfection. Dana, Sila, and Virya, and Kanti, these all are common, understand not? On top, the 10 also got this 4. But what differ is they add in Dayan Samadhi, which is their perfection. Then Prajna, which is wisdom. So actually, these two is the perfection of meditation. Samadhi is Sati and Samadhi, leading to wisdom, Prajna. So when you have these two, the others will manifest, understand? That's why it's the same. But they add in Samadhi and Prajna. Because they feel that without Samadhi, you cannot develop the insight, the awakening. So the perfection of Samadhi is actually perfection of Sati and Samadhi. So this is the meditative. Just like the Theravada tradition, you do dana, then sila, then bhavana. Bhavana is samadhi, because the meditative approach. So sila, samadhi, panya. Samadhi, panya is bhavana. So samadhi, panya is bhavana. It's the same. Okay? So when you meditate, you perfect yourself, you will develop the 10 perfection also.
Correct. Yeah. 5 common, not 4 common. 5 are the same. Only Dayan got Panya up there. 10 also got Panya.
Oh yeah, five are common. Sorry. Sorry, thank you for pointing out. Yeah, five are common. Only samadhi is not there. Because the Pali word and the Sanskrit word are different. Prajna and panya. Okay, they are there, five. Correct, yeah. Only samadhi. Okay. The next one is words of wisdom by Lord Buddha. This one I think we have gone through. You just read them.
1.3 words of wisdom by the Buddha, extracted from the Dhammapada verses on avoiding all evil, do good, and purify the mind. We are having the right view with regards to the law of karma. Verse 1. Mind is the forerunner of all things. Mind is chief. Everything arises from the mind. So if one speaks, acts, and thinks with a wicked or unwholesome mind, then suffering will follow one like the wheel that follows the hoof of the ox. Verse 2. Mind is the forerunner of all things. Mind is chief. Everything arises from the mind. So if one speaks, acts, or thinks with a pure or wholesome mind, then happiness will follow one like the shadow that never leaves him. Verse 183. All evils have to be avoided. Cultivate whatever good when there are conditions and purify the mind. This is the advice of all Buddhas. Dhammapada verses 21, 22, and 23 on heedfulness, Appamadavagga. Verse 21. Heedfulness is the path to the deathless. Heedlessness is the path to the death. The heedful do not die. The heedless are as if dead. Verse 22. Distinctly understanding this difference, the wise intend on heedfulness and rejoice in the realms of the Aryas or the enlightened ones. Verse 23. The constantly meditative and ever mindful and the steadfast one realizes the born free Nibbana.
Very good. So this verse 23 is actually what heedfulness is. Okay, continue.
1.4. Buddha's advice before his parinibbana. Appamadena sampadeta. Strive on with heedfulness. Note, the heedful never die, eternal life, spiritually. The heedless are as if dead, spiritually. No chance of gaining enlightenment. 1.5. Final summary of the first noble truth of dukkha. In short, it is the attachment of grasping and clinging to the five grasping aggregates or upadana khanda of form and mind via one's delusion or ignorance that I call dukkha. The word dukkha or Sanskrit dukkha is one of those Pali terms that cannot be translated adequately into English by one word, for no English word covers the same ground as dukkha in Pali. Suffering, ill will, anguish, unsatisfactory.
Nurse. Unsatisfactoriness. Unsatisfactoriness.
Unsatisfactoriness are some favorite renderings. The words pain, misery, sorrow, conflict, and so forth are also used. The word dukkha, however, includes all that, and more than that, reference page 37, the Buddha's ancient part by Biyadasi Thera.
Yeah, in that book, you read through, he explained to you many aspects of dukkha. So dukkha doesn't mean suffering, unsatisfactoriness, and all those things. Dukkha actually has its deep meaning. Whenever you have attachment, it can bring forth dukkha. So when you encounter certain pleasant experience or something that interests you, then you develop craving, desire, attachment. Although that pleasant sensation that arise, actually no suffering, is a prelude to suffering. That's why dukkha has many, many levels of understanding. Dukkha is a very beautiful Pali one. Whatever has delusion behind can condition suffering. That's why he said, upadana khandas. When you grasp onto these five aggregates of form and mind, suffering arises. So the five aggregates, even under sankhara, mind state, mental state, there are a lot of pleasant, rather pleasant, still, tranquil, peaceful. If you attach and want it repeated, you suffer. Do you understand? Because you experience it, then you retain through memory, then you look for it, you crave for it. Then when you cannot get what you want, you suffer. That's why it doesn't mean when you are afflicted. Dukkha means anything that can lead to suffering when you attach, cling, and grasp. The upadana khandhas. Okay, continue.
One point six, the seven factors of enlightenment or satta bhujanga, sati or mindfulness is the first of the seven factors of enlightenment, followed by the investigation of dhamma or dhamma vichaya, which is the second factor of enlightenment. Without sati, one cannot be heedful or ever mindful. Hence, one cannot investigate the dhamma. This is the reason why sati or heedfulness is very important. For sati is life, because the heedless are as if dead. With sati, one can investigate the dhamma. And if it is the truth, then this dhamma will stand up to investigation, thereby giving us the strong faith in the Buddha. Then viriya, or the spiritual zeal, which is the third enlightenment factor, will arise, thereby enabling one to cultivate the Dhamma according to the Buddha's advice. Sati will then stabilize, and piti, or the spiritual joy, which is the fourth factor of enlightenment, will arise. Once piti is stabilized and becomes more refined, it will accumulate into basadi, or tranquility of mind, which is the fifth factor of enlightenment. With pasati becoming more and more stable, the mind will accumulate into samadhi, a stable, collected, and unwavering mind, which is the sixth enlightenment factor. With sati and samadhi in place, wisdom or panya will keep on arising, giving rise to the last or seventh enlightenment factor, which is equanimity or upekkha. Note, samadhi, a stable, collected, and unwavering mind that does not waver at the moment of sense experience while in the midst of life. 1.7, the three universal characteristics, anicca, impermanence, 2, dukkha, suffering, and 3, anatta, non-self, an empty nature, or not a permanent, unchanging entity. 1.8, the five universal laws or orders, pancha niyamas, that govern all of life and existence in this universe are, first two are scientific law of, number one, uttu niyama, or the physical law of nature, and two, bija niyama, or the biological order of nature. Next three are spiritual law of nature, of three, karma niyama, or the law of karma. 4, citta niyama, or the law of the mind. And 5, dhamma niyama, or the law of truth, dhamma, as taught by the Buddha. Understanding these three spiritual laws that govern all of our life and existence will give rise to the three important right views as taught by the Buddha in his Noble Eightfold Path, that is right view with regards to the 1, law of karma, that is, you reap what you sow, do good begets good, and do evil begets evil, and you are born of your karma, heir to your karma, conditioned and supported by your karma, and you are what you are because of your karma, etc. 2, law of the mind, that is the 12 links, dependent origination, or paticca samuppada. 3. Law of the dhamma, that is the 4 noble truths, 5 aggregates of form and mind, and the 5 spiritual faculties, etc. Understanding these 3 great spiritual laws is like to understand the secret of life, giving rise to the wisdom to enable one to truly live life. Having this right view will lead to the understanding of non-delusion, non-attachment, non-grasping, and non-clinging, etc. Hence freeing and liberating one's mind from all suffering. These pancha niyamas can also be explained by the 4 aspects of the Dhamma on nature as taught by Ajahn Buddhadasa. 1. First aspect, there is nature. Second aspect, there are laws that govern nature. Third aspect, there is a right duty that one must perform towards these laws that govern nature. Fourth aspect, reaping the fruit of one's hard work after having performed the right duty, that right duty. 1.9, the 3 evil roots or 3 poisons of greed, hatred, and delusions are 1. Lobha, which includes all of your greed, selfishness, lust, craving, covetousness, desire, deceitfulness, cunningness, etc. 2. Dosa, which includes all of your hatred, anger, aversion, envy, jealousy, dislike, negative emotions, sorrow, lamentation, grief, etc. And 3. Moha, which is self-delusion or sakkaya ditti that condition one's egoic mind to arise the 3 evil roots of lobha, dosa, and moha, leading to the egoic personality of selfishness, craving, fear, worry, anxiety, etc. They are the roots of all evils. If you have them in your mind or consciousness, then it will condition and cause you to become a very evil person. So it is very important to develop the training of the mind via meditation to be always heedful, so that we can be aware of our mental intentions all the time. And if there is any of the 3 evil roots, then we should arise the appropriate right effort to either abandon it or prevent it from arising. Otherwise, it will condition us into negativity, leading to all the suffering. As they are also called the 3 poisons, they will kill us spiritually if we allow them to stay in our mind. 1.10, seeing beyond form and understanding Nibbana. To develop basic wisdom, one must have the ability to see form as they are, and the unreality of form via its condition arising, its impermanence, suffering, and non-self or empty nature, leading to our ability to see beyond form. Inability to see beyond form will result in form delusion, because one will grasp at external forms via one's own delusion caused by identification with external forms, thinking that they are all so real as form divides. So once we identify via identification with, let's say, our external form, which is the physical body, then one will create the attachment to this body via delusion, hence worrying about it getting old, falling sick, and dying. It can also create duality of male and female gender, race identification, young and old or age identification, etc., leading to all the unnecessary fear, worries, anxieties, possibility of conflict and arguments caused by external form, identification, and division. Unless you have the ability to see beyond form, chances are you will not be able to see mind, because mind is much subtler and entangled.
Intangible.
Intangible than the solid external form. And unless you can see mind, the mundane mind, as it is, via the silent mind in sati, true wisdom cannot arise. For nibbana is cessation of form and mind. So learn to see form, the unreality of form, then learn to see beyond form, leading to your ability to see the mundane mind clearly. This can then lead to the realization of the impermanent and empty nature of the mundane or thinking mind, leading to the ability to see beyond the mundane mind via the silent mind, to realize one's true nature, which is beyond thought and beyond mind. At the mundane mind level, one still cling on to one's view and opinions and religious labels, etc. Hence the division again, at mind level, leading to all the conflicts and arguments caused by one's self-delusion as before. Note, words divide via form and thought identification due to sakkaya ditthi and ignorance. Hence, only if one can see things as they are, that is, via the direct seeing without words, concept and labeling, etc., only then there is no more form and thought delusion to condition one's grasping and clinging, leading to all the suffering. That is, if you cannot see form and the unreality of form, then you will not be able to see beyond form. And everything you come to perceive via your mundane mind, which is conscious, which consciousness only, will be like so real and so meaningful to you. Hence, the self-delusion or sakkaya ditthi, also Dhammapada verses 1 and 2 said, mind is the forerunner of all things, and mind is chief, and everything arises from the mind, so one must be wary of mind.
Yeah, so that one is very important. Eh? We have already gone through all this. Eh? So form is emptiness, emptiness is form. Then because you penetrated with awareness, then you will have the ability to see form as it is through the mundane consciousness, the mundane seeing. Then you can have the direct seeing, then you can see beyond form. That's why Kansan, Ususan, where there is no word involved in the direct seeing, understand not? No concept, no idea, no mundane mind, nothing. It's just the pure awareness. That's why when you have that light of seeing, you don't see form. So when you understand that, then you can see beyond form. So not until you can see form, the unreality of form, you cannot see beyond form. So seeing beyond form need the direct seeing, the pure seeing, without the words, without the concept. Otherwise you are trapped in form. You will continue to cling, grasp and give meaning. Yeah, this one pertains to the conditioned world, not the unconditioned direct seeing from the pure awareness. That's why meditation makes a big difference to your understanding of things. Without meditation, the mundane mind cannot understand. Then to see mind is even more difficult. Your mind is more subtle, gross. One is form. Form is more gross, more tangible, like this table, everything. But to perceive the mind, which is the image, is so subtle. Unless you are mindful, aware, you cannot see them. Then when you are at the mind level, without awareness, you cannot understand mind. So when you cannot understand mind, you cannot see beyond the mundane mind. It's all the creation by the mundane mind into the consciousness world become like very real to you. That's why you attach, you cling, you grasp. And the five ideas for my mind, like it belongs to you. Sakkaya ditthi. So all this entangle the living being. Okay? So hopefully with this, you can develop the understanding. Okay. We got a few more areas.
So, with virtual reality, mind will be even more.
Actually, you see, virtual reality, the way science managed to create this virtual reality is because the mundane mind likes to create this type of projection. So technology has made it possible for you to see through all the technology, big data and all those things. So it's like it creates like a virtual reality, like you went into that place. Then because of the data, they create the virtual reality, like you are walking on New York, walking all over the world, but you are here in Cameron Island. So the delusion is, do not believe what your mind perceives. False perception is one. When we talk about perception, there is this, what they call real perception, when you see things as they are. The false perception is consciousness. That's a perception of form is consciousness. If you perceive it, whereas its non-perception is the direct seeing, wisdom. That's why we can recall and understand. You have with the awareness you see. So every time you perceive form, which is whether virtual reality or actual reality, is still form. Why do you cling on to form? Form arises because of consciousness. That's why the Surah Gama Sutta says, perception of form is consciousness. Means you are using consciousness and its content, which is thought-based. Whereas its non-perception is the direct seeing, and there is wisdom. So that statement is very powerful. Huh? You write down. Thank you, Angie, for recalling all this. Very good. Dr. J is still in KL. Well, like that, he going to arrive quite late. So this one, you not only have to reflect on it, contemplate on it, you have to silence your mind to really understand this statement. Perception of form is consciousness, whereas its non-perception is wisdom. Consciousness means what? The thought process. So this one, the thought, for labor. Thought for labor. Labor is L-E or E-L. 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 Correct? So this thought for labor. Labor means what? Create words and concept. Understand? Because it's the mundane mind, understand? That's why when thought labor create words and concept, reality arise. Virtual reality arise. Understand? You think this chair know that you call it a chair? It doesn't. No. Who call it a chair? Human being. Melayu, kerusi. Understand? Mandarin liver. 椅子, or amokia, armchair. So the same thing, different label. That EU caliber argue. Who say grossy? We got different language. So when you lack spiritual understanding, you end up perceiving form via consciousness. But please don't get the Buddha wrong. Doesn't mean that you try not to perceive form. Every time you want to do direct seeing, and then you are deluded again. Then like you chant, oh me, boy. Understand? Because the understanding is to live life, you have to perceive. Understand? You have this form and mind can perceive. And perception, duality, concept, word pertain to the conditioned world. The conditioned world recognizes this. That's why there are three levels of seeing the mountain. Kan, san, su, san, ordinary, mundane seeing. And this one, you have to see. Yeah, there is a form of mind. This is a convention. Within existence, conditioned world, they use this convention. So you have to understand. But when you meditate and go beyond thought, the direct seeing, the pure perception, this non-perception is pure perception or the direct seeing through the awareness. The awareness see things as they are, understand or not? No word to describe, no concept. Like the baby, newborn, see things as they are. Understand or not? Then all the movement, everything, the awareness understand. But the baby cannot understand. Why? Because the awareness is without wisdom. Because you don't have a memory that is cluttered yet. Understand? The baby actually can learn Dhamma very fast. But you all teach him the wrong thing. Understand? You all teach him the human language. Then all is labor, labor, labor. Papa, mama. You are boy, you are girl, you are John, you are one. Then the identification starts, the accumulation, the conditioning, the belief system, the religious labor. All this is what memory, the education is all about, the conditioning. That's how human being become what it is. And doesn't mean that your parent purposely want to make you like that. Here is your coming. In the past, you teach your children like that. So now you have parents who will teach you like that. To come out of it, you must understand the Dharma, straighten your view and change and make aspiration for you to avoid the foolish and meet up with the wise. Understand? This is the nature's law. You don't avoid the foolish and meet up with the wise, you will continue to play the game of karma, cause and effect. Understand? Last time you remember, there was one your friend, I think, Pulaya. She came up with this word. 玩那个痛苦的游戏。玩不够还要玩. Understand? Karma is like that. Karma is 因果, it's 玩痛苦的游戏. The game of suffering, understand? So, after playing that game for so long, not tired, still want to play, then continue. Then now got virtual reality to play as well. There, people kill you, you don't die. But as if real, like you die.
Still
angry. Okay, still.
You get angry.
So, Suyan brought up a very good one, virtual reality. But when you understand the Dhamma, you can explain all this. Understand? But that one is all consciousness, consciousness, consciousness. Technology or thought-based consciousness. Always remember. That's why they cannot penetrate the awareness nature. They cannot go far. It's because of that. Okay? Okay, you all meditate now. I think we have exceeded the time a bit. 6 minutes. Okay, you can meditate for about 50 minutes. Slowly, mindfully, come out of meditation. Try to maintain the continuity of mindfulness, especially when you come out of it, from the aware moment of mind, how you slowly come out. Don't just like normal, like they wake up, don't. Even you have to slow, you slow, just let it be. It will reach a natural pace on its own. Then later on, whatever you do, when your mind enters deep, you will know. That if you cannot be aware, most of the time means you have not stabilized it. You have to slowly, slowly develop. Then learn to be aware of the minor activity that your blinking of your eye, your turning, bending, whatever activity you do. Like you move your hand, or swing your hand, or you want to take something. Like the Buddha said, looking forward, aware. bending, stretching, turning, aware. Whatever you do, maintain awareness. The stability of that mindfulness is very important. Then you will become very different. So everything you do is like very different. Just the tea and the thing move as one. Okay. Okay, now is what time? Oh, 11:58. Another 2 minutes. Huh? Okay. So anybody got any question or anything you want to ask or share regarding this awareness-based meditation? Don't have. Don't have, then maybe we can have an early exam. You can go for your budget or you pay respect to Triple Jack, make it a routine. Every time before you leave the hall, pay respect, then my colleague walk up. Then when you come in, pay respect. First thing, you pay respect. Develop the faith, sadda, then the mindfulness. Everything you do, away. Even walking down, away. Then all of your movement, activity, blinking on the eye, turning, twisting, everything. You like, the whole awareness is with you. It's like your whole body activity go with it. If you don't determine to be aware, the awareness cannot come in the midst of life. You have to determine to be aware. Every time you forgot, determine to be aware. Every time you forget, determine to be aware. Until the mindfulness awareness comes.